Lord Jesus, part of our confession this evening is that we find that we are together in you. And Lord Jesus, we thank you for that truth, for that reality, the togetherness found because of you and in you. And Lord Jesus, this evening, together, we are turning aside to gaze upon you. And we thank you for, again, the simplicity of this, but the profound transformative impact of simply gazing upon you and taking time to be with you, to see you, to listen to you, to have hearts towards you. And not just as individuals, but we come as a collective of your people. We come together to gaze upon you, to turn aside, to enjoy you together, to worship you together, to praise you together, to hear you together. We thank you for this miracle, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's ask Pete to come and share with us.
Thank you. Good evening, everybody. It's so lovely to be with you and to hear what the Lord has already spoken to us. Family, we are one. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter what tribe, tongue, or nation we come from. We are the children of the Lord, of the Most High, and he has chosen us to be his witnesses on the earth. Isn't that a glorious thing? And it's just wonderful to be together. I hope that works. Does that work? I mean, switch it on, it might.
How's that? Does that work, Paul? Yeah? Okay. Good.
Oops. Sorry. It's working too well.
Right. Yeah. The Lord said, didn't he, when the Spirit has come, Jesus will come and make his home with us. If anyone loves me, he said, and obeys my commandments, I and my Father will come to that person, and we will love them, and we will make our home with them. Sound great? We're here in the family of God. If you've believed in the Lord Jesus, you're in his family. If you haven't believed in him yet, I urge you to just put your trust in him tonight. Don't wait. Don't wait a moment longer. Trusting in Jesus is the best thing that can happen to anyone in this life. And I did that quite a few years ago, and I've never regretted it. Glory to his wonderful name. And it's wonderful when the Lord speaks to us, isn't it? And tells us that now is the day of salvation. Today, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We heard that this morning. This is the day. Now is the day of salvation. God is the God of now. This is the moment. And God wants to speak to us in this moment and to do things for us in this moment that we desire of him. Whatever that unspoken prayer is of your heart that God should do for you tonight, just lift your heart and lift it to God now and say, Lord, I'm here now and I want you to touch me now. I want you to take me now. I want you to embrace me now by your Holy Spirit and fill me with the Spirit tonight. Lord, do that for me now. Amen. Amen. God does speak. That's a wonderful thing. And he uses all sorts of useless instruments to do that. And this is one of them. It's interesting, that God has his pet names for his people. I don't know if you know what your pet name is. Isaiah's pet name was Lowly Worm. Anybody who knows the Richard Scarry books will know Lowly Worm, yeah. Lowly Worm, Isaiah 41:10. And for the disciples, the Lord had the pet name, Little Faiths. Oh, you little faiths, why aren't you trusting in me? Why are you being so afraid? Oh, you little faith. Okay, it was a, yeah. It's a nice word in the Greek, and it's all one word. Praise his wonderful name. I just want to pray just for a moment. Lord, thank you so much that you're here. You're here to speak to us. You're here to bless us. You're here to build us up in yourself. You're here to join us ever closer to Jesus. Lord, to make us precious. We are precious in your sight, Lord, and to make yourself even more precious than you have been to us in our lives right up until now. Lord, and we thank you, you're a big God, and we can ask you big things. So we pray, Lord Jesus, that you will open our eyes and that we will see Jesus in other aspects tonight than we've seen him before, Lord, and that you will write things in our heart that will last for all eternity. Lord, thank you. It's not beyond you to do that for us tonight, Lord, that you should take your pen of your Holy Spirit and engrave on the deepest parts and deepest recesses of our minds your precious word, Lord, to each one of us individually, because you love us individually. You called us out individually to belong to you. Hallelujah. And we belong to you individually, but we're in your great family, Lord, and that's amazing. And we just thank you for your family, Lord, of every tribe, tongue, and nation. Glory to your wonderful name. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. Thank you for your word tonight, Lord. Amen. I only wear this, somebody said, when I get excited. So, okay, you have been warned. Okay, wonderful. Matt prayed about those who turn aside. We've turned aside. He didn't know this, but that was the word the Lord gave me for tonight. A few days ago, some days ago, I should say. And in Exodus chapter 3, that we should turn aside. So let's have a look at a man whose view of Jesus grew as he walked with him. And he lived before the days when Jesus walked on the earth. But he was still very much in tune with the Lord, and he knew him intimately, face to face. And of course, his name is Moses. Last night we looked at Isaiah's vision of Jesus, and we saw that seeing Jesus lifted high, that is victory. Seeing Jesus lifted high is victory. Somebody prayed that in our Longcroft prayer meeting the other night. Glory to his wonderful name. God often speaks through prayer meetings. And here we have Moses. He's a man who met God and whose vision of Jesus grew as he walked with God. And there's so much of the Bible that he wrote. There's so much of God's word that he heard. Time would fail us to deal with even a fraction of it. But tonight I want us to be in a couple of chapters in Exodus and see how God just expanded Moses' vision of himself. And he saw things in God that he'd never seen before. And, you know, it's wonderful that Paul the Apostle said God had called him to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. Unsearchable there means beyond finding out in their entirety. Okay, they're there for us, but there's no end to them. It's an inexhaustible treasury of wisdom and knowledge that is wrapped up in Jesus Christ. And as we come to him and as we come to his word, he expounds himself to us through his word. And so we grow in our knowledge of him and our love for him. We don't only want knowledge, do we? We want our love to grow as well. Because not light without love is of no use to us. What does it profit a man? Okay, if we have all the knowledge in the world, but we have not love, we are worse than sounding gongs and clanging cymbals. So here we are. Here's a man who sought God. And I always remember when we lived in a little village in the back of Beyond in Thailand. And Ruth was homeschooling our girls through their primary years. And once in a while, she would come to me and say, love, I need so-and-so for the lesson today. Can you find it for me? Well, sometimes that was a very big ask. Anyway, there was a shop opposite our house, a small shack, and there was all sorts of stuff, higgledy-piggledy, anything and everything was in this shop, and that was the place to go to. And I often went with, in complete lack of faith, thinking, he'll never have this. Ornstad, his name was, Ornstad, he'll never have this. Anyway, I would tell him in Thai what we wanted, and he'd say, just a minute, I'll go and look in the back. And sometime later, usually, he would come out holding the very thing that was needed for that day's lesson. Yeah. And so here we are. There is the very thing that you need from Jesus is here tonight. Yeah. And he wants to give it to you. He wants to give it to you. Let's come and open our hearts, open our minds, and receive from him whatever it is as he gives us his word tonight. So here we are, Exodus chapter 3. I'm just going to read the first few verses. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Then God said, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord Jesus quotes that verse, doesn't he, to the Pharisees, the Sadducees rather, who didn't believe in resurrection. And he said, don't you know the scriptures where God appeared to Moses at the bush? Where God appeared to Moses at the bush and said, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, for all live unto him. All life derives from him, as we heard this morning. In him we live and move and have our being. Everything about life is wrapped up in God. And when we come to Jesus Christ, we find that we are connected, we're joined. We have a spiritual union with God who created us for himself, that we should enjoy him forever. Hallelujah. Glory to his wonderful name. So here, let's look at a few things just in these few verses that might encourage our hearts tonight. Firstly, Moses was guiding the flock to the backside of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Well, of course, Moses wasn't guiding the flock. God was guiding the flock. God always guides his flocks. God always guides his flocks. God always guides his people. And nothing happens by chance. There is nothing outside of God. And God arranges things according to his will and purpose for your life and mine, that we should be where we are, and that we should find him where we are, and that we should grow in him where we are. And I always remember when I was a young Christian, and I was in Manchester, there was an electricity strike, no street lighting, and I had to meet somebody on a street, on a road that was about 2 miles long, and I didn't know where they lived. I was a young Christian, but I had some faith. And anyway, I got on a bus and I asked God to tell me where to get off, and he did. And I got off the bus and I started walking in the pitch dark, believe you me, it was absolutely pitch dark. And I bumped into somebody on the pavement, and it turned out to be the friend I was hoping to meet. And I said, what are you doing here? And he said, somebody knocked on the door, so I came out to see who was there. And Manchester is one of those houses where the door opens right onto the street. So there you go. And I knew that then that God could arrange any meeting whatsoever, wherever he wanted people to meet. And here he was. Moses comes to the backside of the desert, to the mountain of God, by God's appointment. And you are here tonight by God's appointment, beloved. I'm here tonight by God's appointment. Praise his wonderful name, because he wants us to be here. He wants us to be together. He wants us to receive from him, because everything that comes from God comes by gift to us. We can't earn a single thing. Everything comes by gift through our Lord Jesus Christ. And as Moses turns aside, he sees this bush burning. Now, that wasn't an unusual thing. In the desert, bushes often just burst into flame. I remember being in the back end of Cambodia among a people called the Kvet, and it was hot season, and I was in one of their homes, and outside was the forest, and bang, bang, bang. It sounded like rifle fire going off, but it was the forest exploding because of the heat. You know, it's about a zillion degrees out there, and it was the hot season, and things just go off bang, they go off pop. So here was a bush going off pop, but there was something very unusual about it. Why? What? Well, it wasn't turning black. It was green. It was green. It was green with the life of God. And God was in the bush. It wasn't the bush, wasn't God, but God was there. Hallelujah. Here he's called the angel of the Lord. And in these books of Moses, the angel of the Lord and God's name are often intertwined. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. I will now turn aside. Now is the moment. Maybe God has a moment for you in your life, beloved, that he wants you to make a decision for him tonight. That he maybe there's a decision that you've been facing or holding off, and God is speaking to you and saying, now is the day. Maybe you've been thinking, well, I'd like to become a Christian, but I'm not sure. I'll wait and I'll put it off. And now God is saying, now is the time. I will now turn aside. Or maybe some life decision that God is speaking to you about, and God is saying, now turn aside and see this great sight. In other words, turn aside to gaze on Jesus. Turn aside to gaze on him. The first time we gaze on Jesus is when we see him crucified. When we see the Lord crucified for us, crucified for me. As our brother spoke the words of that hymn, on Calvary, Jesus paid that price in full for each and every one of us. And as we gaze on him on Calvary, that's when faith flows into our hearts. And we realize that we're sinners and we need a savior. And here he is. And he's willing to come into my life. And he's willing to change my life and make me a new person. Glory to his wonderful name. And here, but Moses, he already had some knowledge of God because of his Jewish, he was of the Jewish race. So he would have all the traditions of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob that were handed down. He was also very learned in the wisdom of the literature of the Egyptians, which would have been, you can go to the World Museum in Liverpool, which is up there. sorry, don't know which way to point. You can go to museums all over the world, and they're full of stuff from the Egyptian dynasties. Why? Because they were so wealthy, they were so wise in their own eyes, they were so powerful, they were the mightiest empire on earth. And Moses had the learning of that empire, and that empire was at his feet. He could have been the Pharaoh, the most famous Pharaoh who ever lived. But he esteemed the reproach of Christ worth more than all the treasures of Egypt. Think of that. Have you ever seen programs about Tutankhamun and the treasure in his tomb? He was buried in a coffin made of solid gold an inch thick. And they threw that away. Yeah, but Moses, hallelujah, he saw Christ. He had seen Christ. And once he'd seen Christ, he didn't want anything else. didn't want any of the world's riches, didn't want the fame of Egypt, didn't want the wealth of Egypt, didn't want all the honor of Egypt, didn't want what the world had to offer, but he wanted Jesus in his life. And the more he went on with Jesus, as he walked with him in obedience to the things that God spoke to him, so he came to know him in a way, in an intimate way, and the bush became a symbol of Moses' own life. He became a bush that was burning on and on and on for the next 40 years as he served the Lord among his people. And the fire never went out, except there were moments in his life. Somebody prayed, nobody's perfect. That's so true. Moses went on the mountain with God 7 times, and yet he lost his temper with the people at a point in their migration out of Egypt and to the promised land. And that was a serious moment in his life that hindered him, and he had to repent of. And we all have moments like that, don't we? Yeah. We all have moments like that where we realize, God, I'm so sorry. I've blown it. I've done it again. I've done this before. Now I've done it again. Lord, I come to you. I ask you for forgiveness. I ask you to take this thing from my life. And as we wait on the Lord does it, doesn't he? He washes us clean. He forgives us. That great word of the Lord Jesus that the dying criminal heard, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And the Lord forgave that man and promised him a life with him forever, for all eternity, as he promises to everyone who turns to him. Glory to his wonderful name. So here was Moses turning aside. Have you turned aside? Have you turned aside? Here we are. We've turned aside to spend time with God over the next few days. And as we turn aside to seek God, as we turn aside to listen to his word, as we turn aside to share fellowship with one another and encourage one another in the ways of the Lord, then God is amongst us. Hallelujah. God is amongst us, and he walks amongst us. Praise his wonderful name. You never know what God is doing. I work in but every week I go to Liverpool and I take a Bible study with asylum seekers who are at this time all Iranians, and it's a very interesting experience for me. I've learned more about Persia in the Bible from them than I ever knew before, than I ever knew existed. For instance, did you know that the first three people groups mentioned on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, verse 8, were all Iranians? They were at the forefront of those who turned to the Lord on that day. Praise his wonderful name. And God came to them, used their nation, was the most instrumental in Old Testament times in helping the Jewish people. Persia, above all nations. And anyway, one of the guys in the Bible class, he's a taxi driver in Liverpool, and he likes sharing the Lord with people he picks up. And he was sharing in the Bible study. He said, I picked up a guy the other day. I think he was from Jordan, and he was Jewish. And we got talking about Jesus. And as I was talking about Jesus, he said to me, you know, we Jews are beginning to think we treated Jesus very cruelly. He was a good man, and we killed him. Perhaps he was the one we were waiting for, and we missed him. Perhaps God is lifting that veil very slightly from the hearts of the Jewish people at this time, through what they are passing through. Had a text from a friend who's in Jerusalem right now. He says they have air raid sirens every 2 days for incoming missiles from mainly from Yemen. Yeah, things are serious in that part of the world, aren't they? And there's much more we could say about that, but this is here is one of God's moments and one of God's men who turned aside to see. Are we God's men and women then let us turn aside to see. Let us give, have listening ears. Let us give all our attention in these days. Let us forget the times in the past when we spent a lot of time doing stuff that really wasn't of much use. Not that we should never have fun, of course we should. Recreation is something that God made us for. There was recreation in the garden. They were tending the garden. That was recreation, yeah? They were good gardeners. And God made us to be restored and renewed by this wonderful creation around us. But here we are. Here was a man who focused his attention on God. And God repaid him in a wonderful way by revelations of himself to that man. But first of all, something had to happen. He said, verse 6, don't draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Take your sandals off your feet. Well, in the East, you always do that, probably in Mongolia as well, yeah? Where you go it before you enter a house, you leave your shoes at the door, outside the door, at the threshold. And if you go to church in Asia, and it's a big church, there's a pile of sandals about this high outside the front of the church. And good luck to you too if you can find your pair when you're on the way out. And often you might be left with an odd pair anyway, so who cares? But that's what happens. Why do they leave their sandals there? Well, because sandals are to do with the world. Sandals are to do with dirt and dust and the lowest place. Sandals are commonplace things. And God says to us through Moses here, we need to take off our commonplace sandals too. The things, our commonplace ideas about religion and God. That we don't think of God on the same level as other things and parts of our life, if you like, that impact us every day. Just to give you one example, Acts 26, where the Apostle Paul is testifying in front of a king. And he's talking about the Lord Jesus and to King Agrippa. Acts 26, and Paul has given his testimony, and he's saying, if we break in verse 22, okay, so Acts 26, verse 22. Therefore, having obtained help from God, to this day I stand, witnessing both to small and great, saying no other things than those which the prophets and Moses said would come, that the Christ would suffer, that he would be the first to rise from the dead, and would proclaim light to the Jewish people and to the Gentiles. Now, as he thus made his defense, Festus said with a loud voice, because Paul was speaking with a loud voice as well, Paul, you're beside yourself. Much learning is driving you mad. He recognized the worth of this man. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak the words of truth and reason. For the king before whom I also speak freely knows these things. For I am convinced that none of these things escapes his attention, since this thing was not done in a corner. What God did through Jesus was not done in a corner. It was a public spectacle before the world, before men, before angels, before principalities and powers. And it was the moment, the most critical moment that this earth has ever seen or witnessed or ever will see, when Jesus died on the cross for your sins and for mine, for the salvation of all mankind. Hallelujah. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. He loved us with an everlasting love that broke through every barrier. And Jesus came to do that for you and me. Praise his wonderful name, beloved. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. Jesus came for you and me because he loved us with an everlasting love, with an embrace of God that wants to pick us up and wrap us up in an eternal hallelujah of joy. Hallelujah. And it begins here. It begins here. Glory to God. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Here he is. Paul's trying to convert the king. Well, that's a good thing, isn't it? It's always good to try and convert a king. I remember a lady who was on a train. She was working in a refugee camp in Thailand on the border of Cambodia. And anyway, she was on the train And in this compartment and opposite her was a man who started to speak to her, a Cambodian man, well-dressed. And she started to talk about things that were wrong in Cambodian society, particularly at the highest level, and how they needed to repent and believe in Jesus Christ and turn to God, and then things would get sorted in their country. And the man listened respectfully, politely, and then the train arrived at the terminus, and he got out, and as he got out, he handed her his business card, which she put in her handbag, of course, and thought no more about it, until a few days later, and she took it out, and oops, it read, His Royal Highness, Prince Norodom Sihanouk of Cambodia. Yeah, she gave witness before a king and she didn't know it. How about that? Maybe one day that will happen to you too. Glory to God. This thing was not done in a corner. God is bearing witness to the ends of the earth by his wonderful power and grace and mercy to the nations. And we don't know who in high places is the Lord's, but we can be sure that he has his men and women there. Did you know that one of the high court judges in this land is a woman who came to the Lord in a tent mission in Leeds when she was 14, and her family, she was of a Hindu extraction, ethnicity, family, religion rather, her family were Hindus, and they starved her, wouldn't give her food. So the believers passed her food through the school gates, and she held on to her faith. And now she's a high court judge in this country. God knows what he's doing everywhere. She turned aside to see. She turned aside to see and found the Lord in a wonderful way. Praise his wonderful name. So here we are. Have we taken our commonplace sandals off our feet? Have we got rid of our ideas of religion, that it's always just one of those things that it's part of life and it's there and that's what we do? Even in our meetings, do we come to meetings thinking, oh, it's another meeting, it's, you know, this is what we do? God maybe wants to take us, help us to get rid of our commonplace sandals. Because as we meditate on him, as we gaze on him, something happens. He turned aside to gaze. Hebrews says, the Lord makes his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire. He makes his ministers a flame of fire. And as we gaze on Christ crucified for us, and as we gaze on him in his word, then something happens. Jeremiah said, as I mused, the fire burned. His mouth was shut up for a while, but then he said, the fire of God was burning in my bones and I could not keep quiet. Hallelujah. May God bring us to that place where we can't keep quiet about Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is a day to be bold in the Lord, beloved. Be bold in the Lord. Did I tell you this story last night about the Alpha in London? Did I tell you that? Okay, this is my son-in-law went to an Alpha thing in the Royal Albert Hall. 5,000 people were there. There were lots of testimonies, and one that struck him very, very forcibly was from a 70-year-old lad who's still in secondary school, okay, upper school, and a steadfast believer in the Lord. He went to the headmaster and said, can I run an Alpha, please, in the school? And the headmaster graciously gave him permission. And he had 100 students join the course in the school, 100. And when they had the away day, 60 of them gave their hearts to the Lord. God is moving. God is moving everywhere. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In this country, we pray for revival. Well, maybe God is doing it in a way that we have never we won't understand, yeah? God never works in the same way twice anyway. Yeah, in the Wesley's day, preaching in the open air in the fields was the thing, because most people worked on the land and it was easy to gather them together. Then Spurgeon and the great preaching in the London and so on in the provinces. The revival in Lewis, where God poured out his spirit on a community that was already God-fearing. And now God is doing something in a generation that is empty inside and confused and not knowing who they are, where they are, who, where they've come from. And here he is. God is doing this wonderful thing. Praise his wonderful name. Hallelujah. And then, so let's go on. Exodus chapter 33. Exodus 33. Here is Moses has gone through quite a lot of things. And he's come to a point in his life where he decides, I really need to know God better than I do. He's been up the mountain how many times? But he says, he's saying, oh, Lord, I need to know you. Moses' humility brought him near to God and kept him there. God had called him by name. He'd chosen him, called him out, and laid his hand on him. And here, Exodus 33, verse 12, Moses said to the Lord, see, you say to me, bring up this people, but you have not let me know who you'll send with me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have found grace in my sight. Isn't that a wonderful word? The Lord speaks over us tonight as well. I know you by name, and you have found grace in my sight. Now, therefore, Moses continued, I pray. He was a man who prayed, and that's a great thing to do. If I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people. Doesn't that echo the Apostle Paul? That I may know him. He knew him. He'd known him for years and years, and yet he says, that I may know him. I know him now. I've known him in the past. I want to know him in the present. I want to know him every single day of my life. I want to go on with God. I want to find new things in God that I've never seen before. Of the many splendid grace of God, the many faceted grace of God, Paul calls it in Corinthians, this is what we experience. And here Moses, the giver of the law, says, I want to find your grace, Lord. I want to find your grace. Grace, what is grace? Grace is the overflowing of God's heart towards us. It's the overflowing of God's heart to you and me. The overflowing of his love, the overflowing of his power, the overflowing of his mercy to you and to me. God coming to us sinners and saying and embracing us and saying, I love you, my child, and I want to do for you more than you could ask or think. Praise his wonderful name. And he said, okay, Moses is asking for grace, and God said, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. Oh, what a wonderful thing. My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. This is what this presence of the Lord that we felt at the beginning of the meeting brings to our hearts. And there was that sense, here we are, Lord, we've come home. This is our place of rest. The Psalm of the Priests, this is my rest forever. Here in the house of the Lord, in other words, in the Lord's presence. Have you found that rest in Jesus? Jesus wants to give it to all of us. He said to his disciples, actually, all of you who are carrying heavy burdens and feel really clapped out, I've come to give you rest. Hallelujah. So come to me, Jesus said, come to me. Well, what a simple thing, isn't it? Come. He said it in different ways at different times. Come to me. And here's Moses. And Moses said, well, Lord, that's great. But you've said, he prayed and the Lord said to Moses, I will also do this thing that you have spoken, for you have found grace in my sight and I know you by name. That's an amazing statement, isn't it? I will do this thing that you have spoken. That we pray and the Most High God says, I'll do that for you. I love you so much, I'll do that for you. You're my child, I'll do that for you. And he said, Moses said, please show me your glory. And the glory, and the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, or kind, merciful, loving, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. But he said, you cannot see my face, for no man shall see me and live. And the Lord said, here is a place by me, and you shall stand on the rock. So it shall be while my glory passes by that I will put you in the cleft of the rock and will cover you with my hand while I pass by. Then I will take away my hand and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. Here is a place in the cleft of the rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Let me hide myself in thee, Lord. Be my rock tonight, Lord Jesus. Be the rock of my salvation. Be the rock who pours forth streams of living water into my life. Be my rock forever. Be my protector forever. Be my salvation forever. Hallelujah. This is Jesus. On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Oh, what a wonderful word. That rang throughout the whole universe when Jesus said that. And he performed the work of our salvation on the cross of Calvary that sealed that word forever. Because whatever God does lasts forever. Hallelujah. So says the wise man of Ecclesiastes, whatever God does lasts forever. And he says in the word of a king, there is power. And on the cross, Jesus had the title written over his head. Here is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews. And he's still the King of the Jews. And we must pray that the Jews will turn to him in these days in ever greater numbers. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Are you in the cleft of the rock, beloved? Can I ask? Are you in the cleft of the rock? Do you know that Jesus is the rock of your salvation? He's the foundation stone that nothing can ever move or shake in these days in which we live. I remember when I was a young Christian, another one, and I was worried about something. I can't remember what it was. I was a born worrier. But anyway, I had a dream, and I've never forgotten it. And in this dream, there was a big rock, and there was a single roomed house on the rock with a single light bulb. Inside the house was light. Outside was all darkness, and around the rock a storm was raging. Absolutely terrific storm, huge waves crashing against the rock. But you know, there was not a single vibration. Not a single vibration. And there was a friend, I saw myself in this house with a friend, and I said, Phil, we must do something. And he said, it's all right, Pete, we're safe here. And God spoke to me through that dream. I was a young Christian at the time. Now the words of scripture, obviously they come and God writes them on our hearts. But there it was. God is a solid rock and nothing will ever shake him. Nothing will ever move him. His word is eternal. His grace is eternal. And his grace pours down to us from the throne of heaven. Hallelujah. Jesus is exalted on high. Oh, there's that wonderful verse in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18, and I love to quote it, and it talks about Jesus being raised to bring us back to God. Oh, here we are. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Jesus now reigns on high. He suffered once for sins, but now he reigns on high on a throne of grace. And from that throne of grace, he pours forth his life so that we can receive it moment by moment in his love. Hallelujah. Grace, there is grace for tomorrow. Yes, if tomorrow comes, if the Lord decides the sun is going to rise in the east and set in the west as usual. One day he decided to stop the sun going down, do you remember? The wonderful things that the Lord does. He sustains the whole of his universe by the word of his power. And he's mightily involved in his universe, and most of all, in his people, his beloved church. Have we received grace from him? Hebrews, the writer to the Hebrews, gives us this wonderful invitation to come boldly to the throne of grace. Seeing then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses. He can sympathize, he knows our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. Okay, that's God's invitation, not mine. Come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Who has never had a time of need? Please raise your hand. Okay, oh, glory to God. There is always a time of need in our lives, isn't there? Sometimes it's more critical than others, but every day we can say to Jesus, Lord, I need you. I need you. I love that song. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every day, every hour, I need you. Jesus, we need you. So let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace. So here was Moses. He began with the fire of love that he discovered in a burning bush. And that fire of love carried him through some immense power encounters in Egypt when God picked off the gods of Egypt one by one and brought him through and brought him into that time in the desert that we heard about this morning, where their sandals didn't wear out and their feet didn't swell in the heat of the desert because they were miraculously sustained by God. And your life and my life, beloved, is sustained miraculously by God even now. Even today, we are protected from the evil one. We are provided for from God's hand. We have spiritual food, we have spiritual drink, and we have a God with us who will guide us through all the perplexities and all the difficulties and all the blind alleys. Okay, when we feel like we're in a blind alley, Paul said, sometimes we feel like we're in a blind alley, but we don't despair. What do you do when you're in a blind alley? You look up and see what's up there. Glory to God. So I think we should just spend a little time now just before the Lord and come to receive from him. If you have something, a felt need in your life tonight, Jesus sympathizes with your weakness and he wants to meet us in all of our needs. And we can just simply come to him. So let's just come before him with our hearts and just thank him. Yeah, let's thank him in our hearts for all he's done for us, our precious and mighty Savior. Jesus.